Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Simply the best.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And it's lovely to have company on this Saturday afternoon. Brownie is still with me, Emma Lawrence, and what great pleasure, as always at this time, to welcome to the show Peter Sterling. Sterling, g'day.
Hello, Tony, Em, Brownie and listeners. I can't believe you talked me into tipping the Dragons when I was going to go to the Titans. How dare you?
I know. I was so confident. I had to text you. Speaking of texting you, I was watching you on telly last night. Was it true that, was it Mario? kept texting you, updating you with some scorelines?
Ah, yes, mate. I love Mario. Mario's one of my favourite people in the whole world, but I hadn't heard from him for a while. And yes, I received a number of texts from Mario. The last one was a rather unusual one. I don't know how I can put this. It was... Mario, there isn't a bad bone in Mario's body, and he doesn't swear or anything like that, but one came through right at the end basically telling me what the rabbits had done to the to the eagles. I'll show it to you later. I'm not trying to listen. I won't show
it. Was it anatomically incorrect? And you can decipher.
Well, it was anatomical, yes.
It did. Look, the Dragons played awful, but the Dragons in reality weren't contenders this year, even to get into scraping to the bottom of the eight. With the Eels, where do you feel like? I noticed that Mick Cronin was quoted today as saying, it can happen. You can get smashed during the season and still come back and compete. Now, he mentioned, I think it might have been 1983 when you guys won the premiership, but the Dragons 32-2 or something. Close to during the back end of the year, beat you.
Yeah, I didn't play in that game.
There you go. That might be the very reason. But those kind of score lines, what do they do to your head? If it's 38-0 and it's a team, you know.
Well, they make you take notice.
Yeah.
As I said after the game, it was better that it happened now than in a month's time because there is time to work on things that obviously need to be worked on, which... The wins, the narrow wins in recent times are kind of wallpapered, I think. And I said a month ago on the Wide World of Sports website that I thought Parramatta had plateaued and they weren't playing particularly well. And that, I don't want to just keep harping about that right side defence, but the right side defence has been a concern for a while. They just haven't been on the same page. And the amount of times the other night, and it happened with Sivo as well, the amount of times that players went through and got fresh air was staggering. You know, when you come in hard to try and snuff out the play, you've got to stop the football. And they've been very poor at that happening. It was the first try the other night where Wonga Blake got turned in, Blake Ferguson came in, a touch too late, and got scored upon. So, you know, I think that Wonga Blake needs to have a conversation with Michael Jennings and work out what they do on the other side of the field because Jenko, he understands defence and... Now, sometimes you do have to come in hard and in. Other times you've got to slide and you've got to work that out based on what's in front of you together. You know, if you start trying to solve problems on your own, you're going to pay the price. And, you know, Brownie knows it better than anybody. And I guess the question now is how quickly, when you work on Brownie a defensive structure and you've got to alter it late in the season, how difficult is that?
Yeah, well, it's... If you're older than yours and the Roosters and the Melbournes and the Raiders, all these sides that are playing good footy aren't older, well, you're at a disadvantage straight away, aren't you? Because you're trying to, I suppose, maybe introduce something that hasn't had hours and hours and hours of relentless practice, you know, repetition. So, but if it is not working, and you've been saying for a while, so it's not working, you've got to look at some sort of change. Is it a player change or is it a style of defence? They're the two things you can look at.
Yeah, I think it's the style of defence. I think it's that, and look, I might be completely wrong because Brad came out afterwards and said that it's an easy fix, and I'm hoping that he's exactly right, and I'm seeing, it completely wrong. But it's such an anomaly because Parramatta went into the weekend as the best statistically the best defensive team in the competition. So to talk about problems defensively now sounds a bit strange, but. And I don't know if this kind of adds up as well, but whilst they were the best team statistically defensively, their right side was the sixth best. So I think there's a sign there that that's
some work to be done, yeah.
What about the fact Dylan Brown could be out for the rest of the season? Not sure just yet, but it has an impact, obviously. But how significant is that, and who do you put there?
Good questions. Extremely significant, and I don't know which way Brad would go. Obviously, when Mitchell was out earlier in the year, Jay Field substituted there. Jay's he's a really honest player and wholehearted, but he doesn't have a passing game and he doesn't kick the ball particularly well. So he's just a runner. I don't know how that would work into the side. Jamin Salmon hasn't played football I haven't seen him for a long, long time, so he'd be coming in cold. Takarangi is another option who's played a little bit of 5-8 in the past and obviously is a very experienced player this close out from finals football. Ryan Madison might even be looked at, but I'm not quite sure if that would be, that would bring Niokore into an edge. I don't know if you want to go there at this stage of season. It's a concern. It's an area, apart from the hooking, dummy half roll, the halves is probably the other area where there's not a great deal of depth straight away. So Dylan being out would be a major, major blow. But every team, you have a look, probably only the Panthers who don't have, it's remarkable, isn't it? Hodgson from Canberra, Brandon Smith from Melbourne, say Radley from the Roosters.
Whoever plays hooker for the Knights.
whoever
plays hooker for the Knights, no matter who it is.
But Green as well, so it's...
Well, in essence, he went there as hooker, didn't he, because they moved...
Well, they're in the same predicament they were three weeks ago.
Yeah, because they moved Kurt Mann to hooker, didn't they, to do it, So in essence, the hooker, in a way,
So everybody has to, put up with it. Unfortunately for Parramatta, who had a golden run, they had a healthy roster for a long, long time. This is really bad timing in regards to no Dylan Brown for a period of time.
And had a charm run of playing at home every week and not travelling too, Sterlo.
Well, everyone wants to come and play where we play, Brownie. Yeah. It's not our fault.
They
tell us where to turn up and that's where we go.
Oh, beautiful Bank West. Okay, what about the Rabbitohs? They looked incredibly impressive. Their halves were terrific. Cody Walker is sensational and Adam Reynolds, together they worked beautifully. But they lose Latrell Mitchell.
That's the other one, isn't it? Yeah. Latrell, and that's a major blow for them. Again, they'll cover it well. They have a few options there. Allen went really well when he substituted back there, but of course Alec Johnson comes back in and has played plenty of football there as well. So there's some Gagai's to come back into the side. He can play centre wing. So they've got some options there. But without Latrell, it certainly hurts their chances. And they were great the other night. The last 2 weeks their completion rate has been high, but the thing about completion rates, you look at some teams and they might be 22 from 24, but they've done nothing with the football. They just tuck it under the arm. But South Sydney, if they're 22 from 24, they've put a lot of pressure on you because they play footy. And it's a blow for them, but they've got confidence. They've got a little bit of momentum, and that's what you're looking for at this stage of the season.
All right. Well, I think you're handling it really, really well, Pete. I think that's impressive.
Thanks, Tony.
Much more gracious in defeat than you are with the Dragons, Tony.
Well, he's a professional.
Yes. Good point. We have to remind ourselves of that every week.
And we've had less defeats this year as well.
Yeah, exactly. Don't start me now. Don't get me angry now.
I'm pointing out facts.
Man. Reedy's Mail is next on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Sterlo, Emma Lawrence, Nathan Brown, Tony Squires with you, and we are joined by this man.
Read about it. Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Reedy, good to have you on, my friend.
Thanks, Sam. Hey, everything going right? Did you get that modem charged up?
Yes.
I gave her a flat modem on Friday.
Yeah, we had to exchange the equipment for sideline. Yeah. And Reedy, we had a little brekkie date in Neutral Bay. Yeah. Reedy had the chili crab eggs. Oh, I had smashed Abbo, and Reedy shouted me.
Gee, you're a good man, Reedy.
Good man.
Yeah. Just an Aussie, little Aussie battler doing his thing.
Yeah. It's not true what they say about you, Reedy. You are a good bloke.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. If it wasn't bad enough, 14-10, the Dragons beaten by the Gold Coast. The news on Friday, talk us through what's going on with Jack DeBellin.
Yeah, well, Jack DeBellin's been in court, and it's been an argument. It's been a technical argument rather than anything to do with this criminal case. They were hopeful that the case may be thrown out, but I think they sort of lost hope towards the end of that, and they realised that on Friday that probably wasn't going to happen. But basically just got confirmation his court hearing would be in November. The issue now is that Jack, he's obviously got offers on the table from the Dragons and the Warriors, and he put off a decision on those offers until after this latest hearing had concluded. Well, it's concluded now. So I reckon we may have a decision on Jack DeBellin and at least his future in terms of his contractual status, I reckon the next fortnight or so. I think his management are going to sit down with him this week and talk about what direction he wants to go and how he wants to handle it. But I think both the Warriors and the Dragons are pretty optimistic they'll get a decision out of him reasonably soon. So we could have some movement there on Jack DeBellin. And then obviously he's got the court hearing in November. So it might be all redundant anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if he's found guilty, well, he can forget about playing rugby league again. But at least it gives those two clubs a bit of certainty. And if the one that misses out can go shopping elsewhere with plenty of cash, because the offers on the table for Jack are pretty significant.
All right, Anthony Seibold, Wednesday he faced the media, and then I think he said he's going mustering, so he's put on his Cowboys hat. I don't think he's the Cowboys hat in terms of throwing it in for the Cowboys job.
We know what you're talking about, John.
Yeah. So he's thanks, Tyler. He's headed west for the moment, but there's still some unfinished business.
Yeah, obviously you've got that European cybercrime experts to look into that social media campaign against. We got the report. He got the report on Wednesday, but his legal team's now spoken to the NRL Integrity Unit and given them some names. So, look, the NRL Integrity Unit, they're limited in what they can do because they can only talk to people or compel people to speak to them if they're registered within the game. So even if they're associates of people registered within the game, the NRL's actually got no power over those people. But the legal team's passed on some names. The NRL will look at it now. The integrity unit will decide whether they've got the power to investigate. And if they have, then they'll go after these people as well. So, you know, there could be some movement on that front, I would think, in the next week or two in terms of the NRL and integrity unit, whether they dig a bit deeper into it to see whether people within the game are involved.
So this is the dissemination of some of those really, really ugly rumours.
Yeah, and look, there's obviously a bit of talk that there are people associated with the NRL involved now, or NRL identities involved. Now, the NRL can't touch them because they're not registered officials. The NRL's really only got power over people who are registered. So, you know, they can't compel people to talk to them if they're not actually within the game.
But can it become a police matter?
Well, he will do that down the track. I mean, he's obviously, as you said, he's gone west at the moment. And at some point when he gets back, he plans to go to the police. He was pretty definitive about that, you know, at his resignation press conference. He said he's going to push this and continue on with it. So even if the NRL can't do something, then certainly he wants the police to look at it. And I reckon when he gets back, he'll sort of get onto that straight away.
Just the divulging of names.
Yeah.
Would be catastrophic.
Would be catastrophic. Well, absolutely.
It's interesting because it started with, you know, this whole thing started with rumours being spread about Anthony, but now it's become rumours about who the identities are of the people who are spreading stuff about Anthony. You know, we've all heard names.
Yep.
I don't know how many of them are accurate and how many aren't, but it's sort of kept it going, really.
Yeah. All right, what about, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Tevita Pangai Jr., it was all over, the contract ripped up, you know, then suddenly it's all still in discussion, they've had another meeting, there's kind of a fracture within the board, some are supportive, some aren't. Where are we at?
Yeah, well, they had that board meeting Friday, Tony, and Tevita spoke to the board for about an hour, I think. Look, I think he's presented a pretty compelling argument. My sense after that board meeting was that he'll now survive, that they won't rip up his contract. They'll make that decision, I think, early next week, maybe Monday. And they've got some alternatives under the contract. They can still whack him pretty hard. I mean, they can suspend him up to 18 games. They can fine him a quarter of his contract. He's on about $650,700. So you're talking about $150,000, $180,000 fine if they want to go down that path. But my sense is, talking to people on Friday after that board meeting, that he's put forward a pretty good argument. He had his lawyer in the room, and I think he's going to survive Tevita. So, you know, he's turned that around in a relatively short period of time.
Certainly has. All right, the other name, Kieran Foran. Now, he's definitely not with staying at the Bulldogs?
No. Well, we spoke about this on Thursday. It was interesting because I spoke to Kieran on Thursday and had a long chat to him, and he spoke a little bit about his the chance to play alongside Mitchell Pearce again. They were mates. They played. They've basically been mates since they were 5, 6, 7 years old, kicking footy in the backyard when they were 7. I noticed Adam O'Brien actually came out on Friday, and he didn't put a line through that. He said they'd look at it at the end of the year, but he certainly didn't rule out recruiting Kieran Foran. So Kieran may get his wish yet. I mean, it's a great story if those two end up together because they've been mates for so long. They basically came through together, been great friends, still remain good friends. Kieran still talks to Mitch quite often. He's living on the Central Coast, Kieran, so he commutes every day to Belmore. So it'll be a good outcome for him. It'll probably be a good outcome for the Knights because they'll get him at a bargain rate if it comes to that.
With the Bulldogs, Rudy, was it a matter of money?
Well, they tabled a one-year deal, Sterling, and him and his manager came back with a two-year offer or a two-year deal. And I think the Bulldogs just thought, well, you know, we've offered you 1 year. We think it's a pretty good deal because the deal they offered him financially, it was reasonable given his injury history. And when they came back with it, when they countered with the two-year contract, the Phil and his manager, I think the Bulldogs just thought, well, look, we can get Blake Green for 1 year. We're just going to go down that direction. So, look, I think Kieran was pretty disappointed by it. But the one thing he wouldn't do is pan the club. He said they've been pretty good to him over the years. And, you know, he's obviously been on a big money deal there. And I think he probably feels like he given the service he's given them through injury, it'd be a bit unfair for him to criticise them. So he was disappointed, but he wasn't going to bag the club.
All right, Reedy, as ever, lovely to talk to you. At any time you want to ring up and offer me breakfast, I'm out and about and available. So,
no worries.
Only the cool kids, Tony.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
what golf course are you on?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm on the golf course today still. I kids soccer today, no golf.
Oh, how'd they go?
The older kids disappointing, but the young kids, I said they're the best team in the beaches. They're on fire.
Really?
They won about 8-0 today. Unbelievable.
Right, they're not disappointing. They gave their best and they gave it all. They just got beaten by a better side.
That's true. Yeah. The other mob of the Barcelona, the beaches, I'm going to stop.
I see Messi wants to leave, hey?
Yeah, yes, you've got the $10 billion, have you?
He wouldn't make the team.
Brent Reed, as ever, great to talk to you. See you soon. There he is, Brent Reed. All right, score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet, but gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
There's been talk about, and I think it's a good idea, that the Warriors should pick up the Ken Stevens medal at the Dally M's for those community service. They've just done amazing stuff off the field, but also on it. But are they going to have any chance against the Knights?
Couldn't agree with that sentiment more, Tony. And punters do think they are a chance this afternoon. They're still the clear outsiders at $3.05, but there has been a bit of good money late. Newcastle Knights still the clear favourites here, though, at $1.42. But punters think it could be a danger game.
The Cowboys haven't won a game in 2 months now. Is there any support for them against the Sharkies this Arvo?
Very little support whatsoever, Emma. The Cronulla Sharks are the clear favourites here at $1.36. Punters don't think that losing streak will come to an end for the Cowboys. They're $3.40 and drifting.
And Tom, speaking of streaks, 10 in a row for the Panthers. Any support that the Tigers can be the side that brings that to an end?
No, all about the Panthers here. Sterling, punters think that winning streak will continue. It's been backed into $1.25, one of the best back teams of the entire weekend. The West Tigers, they're going the other way, $4 out to $4. We're completely friendless with Ladbrokes punters.
Well, somebody put $300,000 on the Roosters at $1.04 and picked
and
up.
Collected.
They did.
$12,000.
$12,000.
Better than bank interest.
And he'd be watching the end, though.
Yeah.
Would there be a market for the Tigers finishing ninth?
We wish we could offer that one, Emma, because it would be popular every single year, but the NRL don't allow that one, mate. It's very short every year.
Absolutely. Tom Hackett, thank you so much. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke. Same game, multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. It's a Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company. As head towards 3 o'clock kickoff, the New Zealand Warriors taking on Newcastle in beautiful Scully Park in Tamworth. coach of the Warriors for next season, Nathan Brown, is just about to leave us. Will you watch this game with great interest?
Shoot home, Tane, and probably miss the first 10 minutes by the time I get home and have a sit back and have a nice, quiet look in the lounge room at home.
Will you be on the blower to various people?
Just watch it in peace and give everyone else peace.
All right,
Brown. He's got some homework. He's got to arrange one of our shows to be done at that beautiful restaurant.
We'll leave that with me, all right?
Okay, we'll do. Thanks, Brownie. Another excellent performance.
He watches it on television. He turns the sound down. He listens
to it on the radio.
Anthony Maroon's opening 10 minutes. 100%. It's the best of his work. The next 70 aren't as good as his.
He's just a bit tired, doesn't
he? The Malachi Crunch. He's just got them all, hadn't he? They're outstanding. Nicknames.
He hasn't got them all. He's just got the same ones. Oh.
He's got three.
He came up with one last week I'd never before. I don't know where it came from. It came from the Happy Days or something. Happy Days or something.
Yeah, that's the Malachi Crunch. There was
another one he came up too. The Love Something. There was some love thing.
Love Sandwich.
Love Sandwich. Brilliant.
Really?
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure.
Don't worry. He's looking at us. I love you, Maroon.
Oh, someone's got to.
Yes, Maroon will be calling it all that action from three. Thanks so much, Brownie. Ryan Girdler steps back in. And before we get to the thing that he's been looking forward to so much, the other thing I want to throw at you, Stirlo, was given what's going on at the Broncos, it seems the names have come to Kevvy Walters, Paul Green. Do you have any thoughts, any preferences?
Yeah, I was asked this during the week, and I've never been coached by them. So I think both have great attractions. Obviously, Kevvy, very popular, was successful as a player at the club. He understands the club. He has coached, obviously, at the highest level or a high level in regards to Origin. But Paul Green, I suppose, you know that you are getting a coach who knows what it takes to win a premiership. And that's the greatest part of Greeny's CV, is that he's taken sides to grand finals and he's won a competition. So with Kevin, you are, in inverted commas, bringing in a rookie NRL coach.
Yep.
Whereas Greeny, you don't. But there are a lot of attractions for Kevin Walters outside of that. But obviously Greeny understands what it takes, both on and off the field, to be successful when it comes to 11 months of the year of NRL coaching.
Yeah, it's going to continue to be a fascinating story as it unfolds. Right now, though, it's this.
Believe it or not.
Gerd stormed out of the studio because we didn't play Believe It or Not earlier because he'd done so much preparation. Stella, you've had no time.
That's damn not true, good Tony. Answers, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
That's not true.
It is true.
No, I just like you to stick to the program.
He had a tantrum because he didn't get anything right in the quiz.
I like process, and all of a sudden you give me a run sheet that I'm supposed to abide by, and then all of a sudden you change the run sheet.
It's a fluid run sheet.
Without notice.
It's radio. It's fluid.
No, it's not fluid. That's wrong. You're in TV.
You can think on your feet. You're a very spontaneous kind of human being. Why would that concern you?
Well, it just did before, Tony.
I know.
I've had a big couple of days.
Getting ugly in here.
I know. So can you feel the temperature's dropped a couple of degrees?
Turning on each other.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Believe it or not, Justin Holbrook's 4-year extension is far too long. Good.
Look, I think that there will be performance-based clauses within that contract. A lot of people are comparing it to, getting like the Anthony Seibold situation. I think it's a privately owned organisation now, so the people that are making the decisions are usually, in this instance, good at making these sort of decisions. I believe the Frizzells are really successful in what they do. So I think that they've probably seen enough of the way that Justin's behaved and the responses they've seen on the field, also what they've seen off the field, to think that he's the man to take them forward. So I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. Mem?
I'm comfortable with it too. And I think the fact too they need to continue attracting players, it's probably you'd want to be knowing who the coach is for at least the next couple of years. So, I mean, I was expecting probably 3 years, but again, I'm comfortable with 4 years. They've obviously liked what they've seen.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable because I don't see the necessity of it at this particular time. Obviously, he's made improvements there and the side is going on along nicely, but he was tied up for a period of time anyway. I was surprised that they committed for that long, where I didn't really see the necessity. He may well be a coach that becomes very much under demand from other clubs. And whilst there had been maybe some inquiries that I don't know of up until this stage, they may come down the track. But I thought it was it was a long extension at this particular point in time.
All right, believe it or not, Bulldogs signing Blake Green is a bad move.
No, I don't believe that. No, you're buying a quality player on and off the field who obviously has been around a long, long time. The fact that he's picked up a knee injury, when he comes back from that, if he's lost half a metre or a metre, I don't think that's going to necessarily impact on his game too much. And I think he'll be a great influence around there. It's an area that they needed to cover to a degree with an experienced type player. And I know he'll work hard on his injury and he'll come back and, you know, he'll be the same quality individual that he was before he got hurt last week.
I think it's a good move, yeah, particularly given they've got inexperienced halves. It's only a one-year deal, which works out well because then coming off contract at that time are players like Tom Dearden, Matt Burton, Jerome Luai. So I know Browning talks about a lot how those one-year deals are good for your roster and your cap and allow you to plan. So I think one-year deal, it was perfect.
You're just talking about a whole lot of Penrith players then. We're talking about the Bulldogs, aren't we?
Yeah, but if to get more players in.
Mm.
Believe it or not.
I believe it's a good idea. Yeah, what is it? I believe it or not.
That Bulldog signing Blake Green is a bad idea.
Is a bad idea or a good idea?
You don't believe it?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it's a bad idea. No, yeah. I think it's a good idea because Trent's worked with
him. If you're confused, pull over if you're driving because, you know.
Trent's worked with him before. I think he was at Manly there for a time. So he knows what the investment is. He knows it's obviously a short-term thing and he's going to bring a really good professional to the club in an area where they lack over there, the Bulldogs.
And he still has a couple of frames at home that he hasn't filled with NRL jerseys. So
seven, I think. Seven clubs,
it'd
isn't it?
Be eight now. Yeah.
Eight, yeah.
That'd have to be the record, wouldn't it?
It is. Yeah. I read in one of the articles. I think Reedy might have been.
He might be done yet either. No. He's working his way around nicely.
It could be double
figures. He might do 60. I mean, there'd be some sort of record.
Believe it or not, Wayne Bennett should be next Queensland coach.
Okay, from a pure journalist perspective, I would like to see it because it's a great story.
Yep. I love that.
Sometimes you just need a bit of drama and a bit of spice, so it would make my job easy. It's an easy yarn and there'll be lots of attention on it.
I believe it. It'd be fantastic. State of Origin continues to reinvent itself. That would just be a huge chapter to what is already a remarkable book.
Yeah, it's
great. Yeah, I believe it as well. Be brilliant for the game. And look, it's starting to get a little bit boring, isn't it? We've won two in a row. So I mean, easy. We need some competition.
So easy. Do they bring back Cam Smith?
Imagine that. If GI comes back GI. And Cameron Smith plays, it'll be great.
Israel Folau.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And Billy looks fit. Billy Slater.
Yes. you see him more than we do. All right, and finally, believe it or not, Ryan Girdler, Cam Smith would be selfish to play on in 2021.
I think selfish is a strong term. I think in the best
Charlie interest, wrote that one.
Obviously. I think in the best interest of the club, he needs to make his decision quite soon and be comfortable with it. But he's earned the right to play as long as he would like to, and I'm sure he will.
Em,
no, it's not selfish. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
We've really got to start rewording these things, haven't we?
Ridiculous question.
The hardest part of this whole segment is working out.
The sentence.
How you put your answer.
Sam Smith would be selfish to play on.
Did Charlie do Year 6 English? Yeah. Or did you write these?
He did it four times.
He's earned the right to finish.
That's why we usually do this segment earlier on in the show where we're all a bit fresher because you put it last, Tony, and look what you get.
I asked him, and he said, me fail English, impossible. All right, Cam. Cam.
Oh, I've got to.
Cam Smith would be selfish, do you believe it or not?
Hang on. What's happened to Emma?
Just when I laughed, I got a spasm in my back. Getting old.
She just threw herself sideways.
Two hip reconstructions and a. Oh,
have you had a hip reconstruction?
I've had two.
That's true. Right. Do you go, you know. How many people have you got metal plates all over you, too, haven't you, still? Do you go off in the airport, so to speak?
I did, but then they kicked me out of the Qantas car.
Believe it or not. Cam Smith would be selfish to play on in 2021.
Just give it a chance, Tony.
This will work. Shall we move on to another segment? We're trying this one.
It wouldn't be selfish.
No. Captain coach of Brisbane next year. That's the one to go. We've got plenty ahead as we count down to kickoff on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Good. M. Sterlo, Tony with you. All right, we've seen some of the results. We were a little bit worried when Sterlo walked in. We were worried about Parramatta. Their performance, 38-0, they were beaten. Can they come back? The question, Ryan Girdler, I'm putting to you, and then through to the others in the group, is it, are we already at, do we have the top four, and of that top four, are they all realistic chances? Who do you see are now realistic chances of winning this premiership?
Well, on the back of the Roosters and what they showed last night and the personnel that they'll get back over the coming weeks, I think they're an absolute, they need to be the favourites, I think, to take it out again. Penrith keep continuing the way that they are. I think they're going to give themselves every opportunity. They probably lack a little bit of big game experience, so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle some of those moments. And, you know, to win a grand final, you need to beat the Roosters, and you're going to need to beat, it's like a South Sydney or a Parramatta, and you need to do it consecutively. And I think that's going to be a good challenge for them at the back end of the year. And a Melbourne Storm too, you know, when they get their players back and they're starting to sort of dwindle back into the lineup as they freshen up for the finals, I think they're going to really be hard to beat as well. So I think those three are just a couple of rungs in the ladder above Canberra, who I probably put just above Parramatta at the moment. As I said about Parramatta early in the show, Tony, it's not whether or not we believe Parramatta can win. It's whether they believe that they can win it. And at this point, they're not showing that they do.
They look like, though, they've got the points on the board that they will be a top four. And you really got to be in that top four, Pete.
I think you've got to be in the top four to win it. I don't agree that they've secured a top four spot as yet. I think there's some danger games coming up, like even the Warriors next week. You know, they're certainly capable. They've got Penrith in 2 weeks' time. So, and they've got the Raiders, the Roosters and Newcastle nipping at their heels. You know, Newcastle are smoky in regards to finishing that top four. But to me, the Roosters, Melbourne and the Panthers are the three top chances. It would be a surprise for winners to come outside of that. But obviously that other team that does run fourth, I think, you know, has to be given a chance just because they finished there. And that would be, you know, Parramatta or possibly Canberra.
The Roosters are, and look, some idiot I heard wrote them off last week. And I couldn't believe that as the words came out of my mouth that it was actually me. But they now, we spoke with Boyd Cordner early today, and the idea that there's Sonny Bill Williams ready to run out maybe against the Raiders this weekend, they are, you know, not just determined, but they've certainly got it, haven't they?
Well, the thing that's helped the Roosters, it's kind of the silver lining to the black cloud of injury. When they've lost players, they've actually been able to rotate sort of their fringe players or their bench players. Tupanua was as good as anybody last night. Yeah. He was superb. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, when Crichton comes back, you know, one of those will be on the bench. Now, the bench is going to be sensational. Mm. And it may well be that when you have a look through the sides, it'll be the bench that determines how well sides can go. I know Phil Gould always said that when he chose Origin teams, he basically picked his 14 to number 17 first and then filled in the rest. So that's how important he sees them being. And you look at a side like Melbourne, until Brandon Smith was hurt, they're bringing Tino, Nelson Usso for Solomona and Smith, you know, that's...
It's a solid bench.
Quality.
Well, that's where they used to win all the games too, Pete. They were stronger from the 20th minute to the 60th minute than they were generally to start and finish the games. The other thing about the Roosters and what they're doing, not just developing some of those other players on the cusp, but James Tedesco last night was at first receiver the two or three times every set. So he's developing other parts of his game that he won't always need to use, but he's there if he does need to use it. And it didn't hurt last night. 5 try assists and an outstanding performance. And was just he was a threat every time he got the ball at first receiver.
Not just Sonny Bill to come back. Luke Keary probably in the next week or two. Mitch Orbison as well. So we know that he's there. Mr. Fix-It can fill any spots. So they've got lots of troops to come back, even though the likes of Victor Radley and Sam Verrills are gone for the season. Mm-hmm. If everyone else is back on deck, it's pretty hard to go past the Roosters.
I think Lindsay Collins could go close to playing Origin at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's all for Queensland. Yeah, a good young forward. He's coming from a successful place. And so, yeah, they've got great depth.
Just on that Origin, Pete, Big Tino, Fasila Malawi, is he a Queenslander? Do you know? I think he might have come through the Queensland system, so it'll be interesting to know because, I mean, if he's, you're talking about bench players at a higher level, gee, he'd do a good job.
Yeah, he would. All right, when we come back, we're going to look forward to this game this afternoon and the other two on this evening on the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G. Saturday afternoon. All right, let's have a quick look at what's going on with the games this afternoon and into this evening. Let's start at the back end first, 7:30 tonight, the Panthers. Take on the West Tigers to notch up if they win their 11th consecutive win, which is astonishing. Gerds, you see that
happening? Good, yeah, I don't think the Tigers are sort of playing well enough to knock them off that little run at the moment, so I think the Panthers should get the job done there.
Happy Corriso out.
Happy, yeah, well, he was carrying a bit of a groin injury last week, so probably no use in sort of risking him. Give some of the young guys, Mitch Kenny or the like, an opportunity there. So I think the Panthers, with no love lost between the two clubs at the moment, they should be too good.
And Billy Kickow's also out as well. But do you, Sterlo, like the Panthers?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think that they're bubbling along nicely. The players will come in, Leota will start, and he'll get them on the front foot with Fisher-Harris, get away to that flying start that they generally do. And, the Tigers aren't playing well enough to worry them, I don't think, especially out at Penrith.
I'd like to say the Tigers, but I can't see them winning. Harry Grant's back, which is good. But, yeah, I think it'll be the winning streak continuing for Penrith. Brian To'o's back as well, which is good. So that kind of pushes Tyrone May back to the bench. He's been pretty good. He's played about, five different positions over the last month. So hard to go past the Panthers.
All right, the Sharkies take on North Queensland Cowboys. Sean Johnson out again. Matty Moylan didn't get the nod still. You know, he obviously would have expected perhaps after Sean Johnson wasn't named this week that he might have got another opportunity. Who do you like, Gerds?
Yeah, well, they're bubbling along nicely, weren't they, the Sharkies? But, he sort of got a bit of a correction last week. And, Sean Johnson provides so many opportunities for him and he's really connected to some of those outside backs. So, but the Cowboys at the moment, I don't think they struck a blow last week, beaten 12-0 by the Knights. So I'm going to stay with the home side there at Jubilee, the Sharks.
Em?
I'm going to go the Sharkies too, even though no Sean Johnson. But some of those young players that have been given an opportunity, Connor Tracy, Will Kennedy at times, like they've stood up. So I'm going to go the Sharkies at home.
Yeah, Cronulla, I think. Val Holmes up against his old club again.
He said he got affected by the talk from the Sharks players in the first time they met.
Well, you'll be verballing him straight away then.
It's an invitation.
Exactly.
It's just an invitation.
At least he admitted it.
Yeah, I don't know. He should admit
that. I like
that
the honesty.
No, never liked honesty, Em. New Zealand Warriors, this is the game. Scully Park in beautiful Tamworth, kick off in 10 minutes' time. Who wins and why, Sterlo?
I could go either way here. I almost tipped the Warriors, but no, I'm going against them. Newcastle, I'll be interested to see how Mason Lenoir handles the 5/8 position because there were a couple of options there. But I didn't think at this stage of the season we'd be saying, or I'd be saying that the Warriors are the only team out of the top eight that could possibly belatedly force their way in if things happen. Mm. So, they're the surprise packet of the season.
The Ken Stevens Medal, I think, is a really good thing for them, actually, the Dally M's. If they were to get that for community service as a team, I could absolutely be justified. M, who wins?
I'm going to say the Warriors just because it's a nice story, because when they first came out, they stayed in Tamworth, and, they every single week since Todd Payton took over, they've been having a dig.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Warriors too. Newcastle still haven't found their rhythm with the ball.
All right, that's where we leave it. It is the Warriors for you. That's Triple M rocks the foot.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.